Thank you for tuning into the Monocle Dynasty Podcast, where we keep an eye on Dynasty football. Your hosts, Crescent and John, dive deep on players, rankings, strategies, and much more. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Monocle Dynasty. And now, here's your host. Welcome back to the Monocle Dynasty Podcast, where we keep an eye on Dynasty football. Tonight, I'm joined, I can officially say, by a friend of the pod, because he's joining us for the second time, and it is Russ, Dynasty Outhouse. And so I really appreciate you jumping on with me, and we're going to be talking some trade talk.
It's good to know that your standards are so low that is once someone talks to you twice, they're your friends. But thanks for having me on. It's awesome to be back. I like talking trades.
Hey, you know, we're talking about like Dynasty Twitter and stuff here. So, you know, you got to keep the standards pretty low. No, I seriously do appreciate it. I know we wanted to get you on. It seems like we have this bad like routine or pattern going where I want to talk to you and then we schedule something and then we push it back like 2 weeks and then it's like 2 weeks beyond when we should have talked. And, you know, like,
actually, I think this time it worked out for the better. Because
I agree.
We were here to talk the second time about when you're going to reevaluate your teams to try and tell if you're going to go for the push or if you're going to pull yourself back. And this weird season, man, it pushed that limit back also from when I remember last time we talked, I said it was like, you know, week four-ish, you should know what's going on. Man, I don't think the NFL knows what's going on in week four. So I feel like that definitely got pushed back and we're heading into week seven. And there are some teams I still don't know. We were talking before about how crazy it is where I have Trade Addicts 1 and Trade Addicts 2. And to me, it's just so funny that it's the first two leagues it's happening in. In Trade Addicts 1, I have they're both 12-team leagues. I have the eighth most points, but I'm 6-1. Wait, no, 5-1. What week are we in? Man, I don't even remember anymore. I think I just
six
said
and
it.
One. 6-1. Yeah.
I'm 6-1. Seven, yeah. There you go. Pulled it up. I'm 6-1, but I have the eighth most points. And then in Trade Addicts 2, I have the fourth most points. And I am, I think I said 3-4, but I'm actually 2-5. So, like, still, it's such a weird season still. So the line in the sand definitely got, like, you kicked over it and then took a few steps down and drew it again.
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right, because I just got done telling you before we started recording how, you know, I'm in a league where I should be winning and I'm not, and I still don't know what to do, you know, and I've scored the second most points, but yet I've had the most points scored against me, and I should be in like sixth at the worst, but yet I'm in 10th. And it's like, what do you do out of 14? It's a 14 team league, but it's like, what do you do there? Because I have a great team, it just things haven't really worked out. But in normal years, I guess I would probably have to start selling stuff off. But in this year, it's like, I'm still only one game out of like sixth place, you know? So why am I going to give up on it? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, a lot of middle heavy leagues this year. Again, just because stuff's been so weird, there's a lot of 3-3 teams or 2-4, 4-2. Not many. Like, I don't have any leagues with a 7-0 team, which is kind of strange due to the fact I'm in like 28 leagues that none come to mind that have an undefeated team. That's a lie. I have an undefeated team. Most points also. Take that, Trade Addicts 4. But still, again, one out of 28. That's crazy. Usually there's at least one or two teams that are unwinned. Like, what do you, completely defeated? Like, what do you call when a team's 0-7?
I've always called it defeated. You know,
it's, yeah, just, there you go. You know, they are undefeated. Defeated. so yeah, there's a lot of middling teams just because there's been so many weird, you know, with week four of Tennessee and Pittsburgh getting pushed or where there was no other bye weeks and the random people who have been scoring points because other people have been, you know, pulled out for some reason or the amount of injuries and stuff like that. So it's just been a super weird season. So I think now is a better time than what it had been 2 weeks ago. So we should be, it's weird to say we should be thankful for my brain giving me a migraine 2 weeks ago, but for the listeners, it worked out better.
And I definitely wasn't blaming you or anything. Like, I just, it was just funny because it kind of happened the first time and then, you know, it happened again. And it's just like, but like, we have to push things back. So I'll start scheduling you
2 weeks in advance,
2 weeks,
right?
Ahead of time. Yeah. And then that way we can get it on the right date.
You want to talk to me trade deadline week? Let's schedule it for 2 weeks before and then, you know, we'll be good to go.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, it's honestly the first year that I've had an actual undefeated team. I was telling you before how, you know, I have a team that's 14 and 0 with the league median rules. So, you know, you but technically play, you know, your opponent, and then you play against the league median as well. And I'm 14 and 0 in that league. And I really thought that I was going down last week. I mean, I have a good team, obviously, but you know, you can always lose a week. You know,
There's
it can
some
always
weeks,
happen.
yeah.
But I had Kyler and Lockett on Sunday
Oof.
night.
Oh
So
man. So did those two guys themselves beat the other team?
pretty much. I mean, I was down by 80 going into Sunday night football, and then I left Sunday night football
One
up
winning by
by
20.
five. Yeah, and then I still had Jared Goff going on Monday night. So I mean, it's not like I wouldn't have done okay with, you know, without him or anything, but I definitely would not have won without them. But it was a good week. It was one of those weeks where you're like, oh well, I guess I guess I got my first loss, and then it's like, oh wait, no, I didn't.
That's me say thank you, fantasy gods. Let's keep that going. Whatever
Yeah.
I did right, let me know. I'll keep doing it.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you remember or not from the first time we were talking about it, but that was the team that I had like the ridiculous amount of running backs in. And we were talking about, you were like, trade some away, you know, what are you
Seriously.
doing? And I tried, but yeah, I think I'm also kind of proud of myself at the same time because I didn't just take crap, you know, I didn't t take crap
Oh,
offers
for
just
sure.
because I had, you know, like a plethora of running backs. I said, hey, like, you want to pay for them, that's fine, but otherwise I'll just keep them.
Damn straight.
And you know, I've lost quite a few running backs now. I had Raheem Mostert, I had Mixon, you know, even like Elliott. Obviously, like it's kind of iffy right now.
I'm
And
trying to bail on him on one league, yeah.
I had Leonard Fournette. I had a CEH, obviously, with Bell coming in, and then Dobbins. I expected more out of Dobbins. He hasn't really done too much yet, and everything. So, like, I felt like I had this plethora, and I also have Derrick Henry. But
Helps.
I, yeah, that does help. But I felt like I had this plethora of options, and then, you know, like come to find out, like this week I have, you know, certain bye weeks. I have a few of those guys on IR, and it's like, well, I needed those guys, you know. But if I had just given them up for nothing, so you know, it's sometimes that, you know, they always say it's the trades that you don't make that end up being the best
Yes.
ones, and I guess that's kind of what happened here.
Yeah, it's important to realize that just because a player doesn't mean as much to your team doesn't mean he's not worth what he should be worth to another team. Like
Right.
you're saying, just because you have too many running backs doesn't mean you need to sell them cheap. You know, you get wait till you get your value. And also just because years like this happen where every single player ever misses at least one week. So
Right.
yeah, definitely don't sell cheap if you don't, I was about to say if you don't have to, but there's no reason to really ever have to sell cheap.
Right.
There's reasons to want to, but you never really have to.
So has this crazy year changed anything with your actual strategies of making trades, or, you know, like having more depth, having less depth? I'm pretty sure you don't want less depth,
The depth thing is killing me. I hate having depth on my team, mostly because I'm terrible at setting lineups, so I don't like having to choose. Like I like having one or two guys who are bye week startable and hope I don't need more than two fill-ins for bye weeks. But like I know depth is absolutely necessary. I learned quickly, like I said, week four when I got screwed out of Tennessee because I have Tannehill and Derrick Henry on most of my competing teams and Roethlisberger, Connor on the rest of them. So I got really screwed that week.
Oh,
So I
man.
learned quickly that depth really does matter, and I can't just start two for oneing to get some more studs because you need it. But I mean, has it really changed the way I trade? I don't think so. I've noticed a lot of people are sort of not willing to go, are not willing to go all in. On pushing for the championship, where usually you'll have four or five teams in a league that are just, that's it. I'm gonna sell all my youth. I'm gonna sell all my picks and try and get some vets to go all in to try and win, which is fine, which usually works out. It's a lot less. Like I've Trade Addicts 8 is a really weird league for me right now because my team should have been great. I lost Saquon. I lost Locke for a few weeks, and what's his name? Garoppolo. Like, just everything kept falling the absolute wrong way. So I decided to flip what's going on, and I tried to get some picks, get some youth. And there was one or two people who were in the top four teams in both standings and points against. And I'm trying to get there first. And they're just like, normally I would, but I'm just not willing to go all in this year because it's already a strange year. And I don't want to risk my future for this strange year. And I told them, I'm like, money's going to be the same this year as it is next year. You know, right. If I were to buy a championship belt, you'd get the same belt you got this year than you did next year. But, you know, I'm in way too many leagues. I run too many leagues to start buying belts for everybody. I mean, of course, that's just my sales pitch to get them to take my trade. But I absolutely understand it just because, yeah, this I think I've said it 18 times in the 10 minutes we've been recording. This is a weird year. And with the amount of injuries, the amount of games that are getting moved around or pushed back, I kind of get being a little bit more cautious. I'm not just because I'm insane, but, you know, I get other people feeling that way.
Yeah. I wrote an article a couple weeks ago and it was like, you know, this is the time where you need to make your decision about your team and, or at least start making the decision, even if you kind of let the rest of your league mates make the decision for you, like that kind of thing, but at least start thinking about it. And then if you do decide to go all in, you know, you need to start looking at things like bye weeks and depth and everything else. And then they change the bye weeks on us. And it's like, you can't even do that. You're like, you can't even prepare for it. You just have to be ready that at any point a guy could be out. And, you know, I don't know what else to call it but a weird year. I mean, that's all you can really call it without like losing your mind.
It's repetitive, but it's the absolute truth. And like you said, I completely forgot they changed the Chargers? They changed their bye weeks, I think.
They changed multiple teams. I don't remember exactly. I don't remember exactly what the teams were.
Oh, did they? Then I guess it was just Melvin Gordon that was bitching about it. So that's the only one I know about.
I think they changed like six teams bye weeks.
Did they really? I mean, I'm only in two redraft leagues and I'm so ingrained in Dynasty that I'm just not used to even looking at bye weeks. I just I figure them out as I go along. Like, I don't plan for them, I should say, I guess. Like, oh, my quarterback's on a bye. So I guess I'll go pick one up because they're both of them are single QB, so I could do that. You know, so I never really plan for bye weeks at this point because in Dynasty, you're not going to make any real moves to cover bye weeks in Dynasty, really. Like, you're not going to upend your team. If anything, you're going to try and trade a third for someone. So it's it's not really important to look at bye weeks in Dynasty. So I've pretty much ignored them at this point. But assuming you don't have redraft that's like insanely deep rosters, so there's still stuff on the waiver wire, bye weeks aren't super important, I guess. Unless you're playing Superflex, in which case they are anyway.
Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, it was more about this weird year, you know, because of the injuries that we've already had. I mean, obviously, like, we know at the minimum, there's going to be another 2 to 3 running back injuries this week and every week. And then, you know, between that and obviously, like, the chance of COVID at any point, that's why I was saying, like, even in Dynasty, go look at these bye weeks and stuff. And then, like, literally the day after I did that or a few days after I put that article out, it was like, nah, we're going to switch up bye weeks on you. So go, you know, go screw yourself.
Yeah, seriously. Why don't they care about my fantasy team, NFL?
Right,
come on, man.
I don't understand it because, you know, like, I watch their product. They should care. You know?
I feel like most of their, not most, but a decent amount of their revenue at this point has to come from fantasy. They should just cave in and make it easier for us.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the players actually kind of understand it, you know, seem to understand it, at least some of them.
I was about to say, the younger ones are at least, at this point, they grew up with it. You know, you had the older guys that, you know, were cursing at fantasy players, which absolutely some fantasy players deserve to be cursed at. If you ever added a player, then you absolutely deserve to be cursed at. Unless it was a good thing, but, you know, if you're one of those dicks that, you know, hey man, I needed 8 points for you and you only got me 7, then you should just smash your head against the wall once or twice just to make up for being that dumb.
Yeah. No, that's some of these people, like you said, they just totally deserve it. And it's insane when you actually see it. I can't imagine having the balls, the gall, or whatever you want to say. Like, I can't imagine having that because of your fantasy team. But, you know,
That the first time in recent memory that we saw this happen, you know, what Todd Gurley tried to do this past weekend, Maurice Jones-Drew kneeled at the 1 yard line because they didn't want to score the touchdown yet. And he went out and apologized to his fantasy owners. And that was like a world of change. Like, that was the first time that I remember ever seeing anyone kneel at the 1 yard line to let the clock keep running before they scored points. And two, because it was the first time a football player actually acknowledged fantasy in not a shitty way. Not like, you know, I don't care about your fantasy team. I'm out here to make money and win games. Like, we know, bro. Calm down, man. But well, but otherwise, yeah, no, don't have players. They don't care about your fantasy team.
Well, the funny thing is that, and obviously they're not doing it, at least, you know, Gurley isn't doing what he did last week, you know, for fantasy purposes or anything like that.
Unless he had himself. We don't know that.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I mean, they're trying to not lose a game, basically. Yep. But the funny thing is that I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but Gurley did the same exact thing where he did stop on the 1 yard line. And so, you know, it's just funny, but I don't know if he actually apologized, but I do remember MJD was big about fantasy. And
always.
Like, even obviously now, like, he still talks about it on, you know, on whatever show he's on, Fox or CBS. I
think he's on one of the NFLs. At least
He's on one of them. But yeah, he still talks about fantasy and stuff. So like, yeah. I remember that being pretty cool, like you said. Obviously we talked about, like, you're not really changing too much. But I guess at this point, like you said, teams might still be trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked before the season, you know, started about, you know, kind of trying to figure out, like, or get your team prepared for the season and everything. But now, if you're in that middle and you're doing okay, you know, what is helping you make the decision between competing and rebuilding and, you know, that kind of thing?
I only play Dynasty on my fantasy leagues, so I don't know if these, I would assume the stats are somewhere, but I don't know where you would find them. For my fantasy league, I'm pretty sure I brought this up on the last show, they have the power rankings
mod. Yep.
In MFL, you go, what is it, reports, standings, power ranking. And what that does, it shows you total points for, potential points, how many games you could have won or should have lost if you actually set your lineup well. Mine always laughs at me with how bad my lineup efficiency is. It also shows you your all-play record, where that is your score versus every other team score every single week. So let's say you were the worst score in the 12-team league, you'd be 0-11 that first week. So, well, let's say you had the 7th best score, you'd be, you know, 3-10, you know, so it lets you know how you are against the rest of the league. So when you go there, because record, you know, we said it a few times and we definitely talked about it before we started recording, records are super arbitrary. You know, there's no strength of schedule, you know, before the season starts, like there is in the NFL. Like, you know, teams play teams for a reason. They don't just, it's not like a flip of a coin, like it's a throw of a dart, because you'd need a 29-sided coin. But yeah, it's completely random, and, you know, no two teams are the same, and there's no defense, and blah, 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 blah. The record doesn't, you know, schedule doesn't matter. So what that power ranking tool does, it sort of shows you big picture your team against the rest of the league. My Trade Addicts 1 team, actually, here, let's pull this up real quick, and I'll try and ramble so I'm not just sitting here with empty sound. This team, I am 6-1. And here, I scroll to the power rankings. I am 6th in power rankings, mostly because I moved up. I have nice. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm 7th in scoring, no longer 8th. Booyah. Potential points. Yeah, I'm about 8th or 9th. 82% efficiency. That's actually not terrible. Usually I'm in the 70s. Here we go. I could have won
20s your year.
Right. I could have won one game if I set my lineup better. I should have lost 3 if other teams set their lineups better. And here we go. My all play percentage is a little over 50. I'm 40 wins to 37 losses, so I'm barely over 50%. So I am 6-1, but I have a very middle of the pack team. Like, that's what that shows me. And that doesn't super help for the narrative of this conversation, because it's not like, you know, my team's bad, I should do something, and I'm literally in the middle of the pack. I have an even better situation. It's not one of my teams. Trade Addicts 3. That was another team I thought I was rebuilding, but I had Josh Allen. I can't remember who else that just was scoring really, really well. And I decided just to go for it. You know, I'll make a couple of trades and I'll go get some guys that score points. And I threw a this was right after week five. A team was 1-4. So I threw him 2/3 for Jamison Crowder just to see if I can get him. And he replies to me with, I get it. I'm 1-4, but I'm crazy and I just don't think I'm ready to throw in the towel. So I'm like, let me show this guy what's up. Let me go to the power rankings. Let me show him how terrible his team is. He was 5th in the power ranking. So I'm like, Rocky, you know, I was ready to throw this at you to say how wrong you are and that you should just hand me Jamison Crowder and get on with your life and your rebuild. But your team's actually really freaking good and you should hold on to Crowder. And he won the 2 games since then. You know, so like it's not that easy to either A, look at your record, or B, even just look at points for, because there's a little more to it than that, because you can score 100 points 5 weeks in a row and score 300 the week after. And, you know, your average shouldn't be that much more than 100, but it's going to be like, you know, you shouldn't really take that high score into account, but it really skews your perception of what it is. And man, if you went from scoring 100 to scoring 300 points, that okay, so maybe I exaggerated a bit on that one. But, you know, so there's a lot more things to look at than what's on your usual standings. Because usually your plain vanilla standings are wins, losses, points for, points against. But that really doesn't super help. So that's why I love these things that break it down a little further for you to see how your team really is compared to the rest of the league.
Yeah, and I know that not all the services like Sleeper and Fantrax or whoever else, like I know they don't all do the like all play record and things like that, but obviously you can figure it out yourself. It just takes a little bit of time, but it probably is a good idea regardless if someone else does it for you or if you do it for yourself, like to do it.
Yeah, man, like it probably shouldn't take all that long to like pull up a schedule week by week and go into an Excel sheet and type out every team score. Like it can't take too long, and then that's a quick way for you to find your all play record.
It would take about an hour, and so I, you know, that could be very worth it to help you make that decision, because like you said, it's tough right now. But with that league that you're 6-1, but you're kind of middle of the pack and everything, obviously it doesn't really make sense for you to rebuild at this point, because if you have your first, then you're probably going to end up about middle of the pack anyway. Not that that's, I mean, that's not terrible, but it's not ideal either.
Yeah, being in the middle is kind of the worst.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's times where it can actually kind of benefit you depending on the year and things. I'm not saying that you want to be in the middle. You obviously don't, but like, yeah. I've seen it work. I have seen it work out for people. I mean, Justin Herbert was in the middle of this year.
Obviously, yeah, that's
completely
fair.
Random. You know, not going to happen every year, but it can work out for you. But you want to try to either be worse or first, you know, like that kind of thing. So if you're in that 6-1 team, but you know you're in the middle, then obviously you're trying to make trades to make your team better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm guessing with you, maybe it's not always a guarantee that you have your first or you have your picks.
I usually don't.
So maybe I'm assuming that you don't. So at that point, I mean, obviously you're trying to trade away some youth that, you know, maybe isn't ready to go yet, like that kind of thing. Is in that particular league, is there anything that you've done or that you're planning on doing or anything?
All right, like, well, that? I just pulled up the trades I've made in the past 45 days. Let's go through them. I traded Cortland Sutton for Leonard Fournette and a second. So which hurt because I love Cortland Sutton. And, you know, I was ready and willing to wait on him, but then I kept winning. So I liked that I was able to get Fournette, who every other week seems to score some points. But also getting that pick helped. And you'll see why in my next trade. Because I had 21 seconds. So I traded 21 seconds and a 22 second for Joshua Kelly, James Robinson, and Chase Claypool. This was before Claypool went nuts, and you'll see what I did with him later. I'm like, then I traded Fournette and Keenan Allen for T.Y. Hilton. I screwed up and clicked the wrong button, but thankfully that guy traded him back to me, undid the trade.
Oh, God.
I went to click Tyreek Hill, but apparently clicked T.Y. Hilton, and he accepted it so fast. And I'm just like, man, don't you realize that that was messed up? Couldn't you have been like, hey, Russ, did you mean to click this? But right. No, he right away, he just clicked it. No, he's like, he sent it back very quickly. But still, I was super tilted for a bit.
And I hope that my listeners are good enough people. But man, if someone does that, do not be that guy. I had a guy, and it really wasn't even that bad of a trade. But I sent him an offer. He accepted it. And then like an hour later, maybe not even like 30 minutes later, something like that, he texted me. He's like, dude, I'm so drunk. I didn't know exactly like what was going on and like that kind of thing. He's like, can you please just reverse the trade? And I'm like, of course, you know, like,
yes.
And then we still got the trade done. The next morning we got the trade done, and it wasn't that much. I want to say in the grand scheme of things, I ended up giving him, like, we basically swapped seconds. So, like, that mm-hmm. was the only difference. And so it ended up being, like, a 4-spot difference or something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing to, like, lose your mind about. And, but, you know, like, I kept that bridge open rather exactly. than burning the bridge. And, like,
that's
that
what it comes down to. Yeah. You gain nothing by being a dick about it. I mean, why lose a trade partner? Why lose, you know, why build animosity within a league? It's a game. Calm down. So yeah, we undid that one. And then I sent, let's see, a 21 and 22 third for Ryan Fitzpatrick, which served me great until this week when they named Tua their starter. So yeah. I traded Joshua Kelly, Chase Claypool, and my 22 first for Tua.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I like that a lot, actually. Especially because, I mean, Kelly seems to be kind of losing value.
Yes, and that's why I was very willing to give him up.
And then Claypool, I don't think Claypool's actually losing value in people's minds, but I think for the actual like fantasy purposes, I think he is. You know, so
he had one bad game. Like, see, this was directly after the 4-touchdown game. Like after that week happened, this dude came right at me, and I'm just like, I slow played it because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do about it. I'm like, do I hold this? Do I use him? Is he going to not score 4 touchdowns again, but is he going to be the guy, a guy there? Because who the hell knows who the guy is in Pittsburgh at this point right now? So, like, and then it works on me easily, and I've learned it works on this guy too. This is why it helps to know your league mates. If you want to get max value out of me, make me wait. I will get so impatient. I will keep upping my offer. And I did it to this guy because mostly this guy usually just loves picks, but he must have it in for Chase Claypool because I wish I could remember what they were. And I'm far too lazy to scroll through everything to look to find out what the actual offers were. But, you know, it started out as one thing. And then I said, I replied to him like, I get it. And yes, I'm willing to trade Claypool. I don't know how to value him, like what his value should be, or if I just want his points. And I waited it out. A few days went past. He sent me something else. And I'm like, okay, I see this. Reject. Probably could have taken that deal and felt good about it. But okay, reject. And then 3 days later after that, he sent me a trade that was along this line. I think I heard there was like another player involved, and I swapped out the player for my 22 first. And it got done. So those are the kinds of trades I made, and I love the two aspects of the two of these trades I made is I didn't completely just give out on youth. Like, getting Tua is awesome for the fact that I lost a starting quarterback when they benched Fitzpatrick, but also now I gained a starting quarterback in Tua, but also he's a rookie and supposedly very good. So it doesn't necessarily, like, if I start losing like I should, I didn't screw my team over completely. Hopefully I'll be able to ditch Fournette if I start losing, but everything else, like getting that pick back, and like, it's sort of hedging my bets, I guess I think I should call it.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you. I have Fournette in quite a few leagues, and you know, like, I did not expect him to come back from the injury and just completely like take over that backfield like he kind of did, you know, last week. So that was kind of promising. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like you're much of a believer, but it was definitely promising.
I believe in the player. Like, right. I went heavy into, like, I have him on both of my redraft teams. I drafted him in the Scott Fish Bowl, and I have him on a few of my dynasty teams. It's just that it's so up and down with you know, Rojo and him, and, you know, I guess his ability to stay healthy is coming back again. So, like, I don't necessarily feel safe starting him, but hopefully if it stays like it was last week, then I'll feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't expect it coming right back from like the injury and everything, especially because everyone was freaking out about how good Rojo had looked and all that. And then, yeah, I mean, trust me, he was
scoring points. Let's put it that way. He was scoring points. He didn't necessarily look great.
He was running straight through a hole. Like,
yes,
he was doing his job
and still dropping every pass coming his way.
That is also very true. But point is, like, I wouldn't freak out about Fournette, but it doesn't sound like you are. It just sounds like you're kind of ready to get out whenever
you can. If I need to, I'm willing to. Let's put it that way. You know, if I plan on saying, let me take a step back from winning, he'll be probably the first guy off my team.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense because obviously it's, you know, kind of like an ambiguous situation. So, you know, you don't really want those. You want more of like the Mixons and like, you know, the Cooks and those guys.
Guy who will know where they'll be next year.
Yeah, exactly. So do you have any leagues? I mean, you said you're in what, 28 leagues? I'm guessing that you're rebuilding in a league or two. Yes. Either that or you're like the best player ever in the history of fantasy football.
I won't say I'm not the best fantasy football player ever.
You can't prove it.
Yeah.
You can't.
The research has not been done.
So do you have any leagues that you've like recently decided, hey, I'm, you know, like we said, this is a weird year. We'll say it like 20 times, like 30 times, maybe before the end of the episode. But it's a weird year. So like, have you made the decision like the past week or two? Like, all right, I'm done.
Yes, we have Trade Addicts 7, where I swear I'm in more than just the Trade Addicts leagues. They're just the easiest to talk about. Right. This is one where I co-own it with Brian Haar. Not necessarily the biggest fan of co-owning teams, especially with a guy who actually cares about things as opposed to me who just likes having fun. We got the injury bug pretty bad on this one. And again, I own it with, and we had Saquon on our team. And a couple of other things just didn't go our way. So we decided, I forgot what happened, but we just got like one trade offer in the beginning of the year. We're like, we can take this, but this means we're rebuilding. And the offer was just really good. And I wish I could remember what it was, but we took it and then we just embraced it. And I pulled up again the trades I've done in the past 45 days. Unfortunately, I wish we waited a couple of weeks on this one, but we traded Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook. Now, this was, well, Aaron Rodgers was doing well, but before he started to really do well. And Dalvin Cook, this was, he had a slow few weeks, but not, you know, before he got hurt, like week two or week three, he was kind of back in the time where everyone's like, I'm not really looking to acquire Dalvin right now. And then he had 2 30-point games in a row, and now everyone loves Dalvin before he got hurt. But we traded Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook for Baker Mayfield, Cortland Sutton, Irv Smith Jr., and we got our 21 first back. And that was a big sticking point because he kept trying to give me a different first. And I'm like, no, clearly we're tanking the hell out of this team. We want our first because I'm not giving you the 101. I want it for us. Right. Because if you don't have your own first, there's 0 point in tanking. If you do not have your own first, just win the damn league. I mean, that's what it comes like. Your team being bad just helps someone else if you don't have your picks. So we made sure to get it back. That scared us a bit with Baker looking kind of terrible for a little while. Everybody, you know, gets their get right game against the Bengals, which is nice. It was nice to put like 5 touchdowns, like makes you think that he's just doing pretty. He's not terrible. Then we had Ertz, who had an utter trash this season, and we traded Ertz for Dallas Goedert and a third. So we got that youth back. We got the future because Ertz, every year his contract is up. They just keep extending him. And now there's again talks that they're not going to do it, but who the hell knows? We've been calling for the demise of Zach Ertz on the Eagles for about 3 years now, and it hasn't happened. So I'm not going to hold my breath, but we got younger. And
I'm actually kind of surprised that you were able to do that because I know in a lot of my leagues, I mean, I don't know exactly when you made the trade. I'm guessing before he just completely started like blanking on the scoreboards.
3 weeks ago, yeah. I mean, he was never doing great this year, but he was still putting up like 8 to 10 points as opposed to 2 or 3. Yeah,
and I guess, you know, with Goddard going out probably helped the trade because if Goddard was playing, then
yes, he was injured at this point when we did this trade. Yeah. And the last one we just did recently, which we traded away Carson Wentz and Stephon Diggs, and we got Daniel Jones, Miles Sanders, and 2/3. And the reason we did this, like I said, I own this team with Brian Haar, so we have to get as many Penn State players as possible. And now we have Saquon and Miles Sanders, so he's just the happiest boy in the world. If we could just get Gesicki and Allen Robinson, you know, it'd be his dream team.
I don't know about. I don't know how I feel. I know people are not high on Wentz right now, but
We have a Carson Wentz podcast. Like, we have always believed in him. And I mean, look, he's scoring points regardless of how you think he's doing in real life, which with what he has around him, he's doing pretty darn well. Yep. He's still putting up fantasy points. And in our game, that's what matters, because let's face it, they're not benching Carson Wentz. They're not trading him. They're not getting a new starting quarterback. They just paid the kid. He's really freaking good. They have to realize that they're just putting him in a crap situation. So we fully believe in Carson Wentz, but, you know, Miles Sanders. He wanted Miles Sanders. That's really what this comes down to. Daniel Jones, there's a slight chance he gets Rosened because the Giants are terrible. And just in case, I don't want to assume that everyone knows what I talk about when I say use people's names as verbs. You know, the Cardinals, they traded for Josh Rosen, and then the next year drafted Kyler at 101. If the Giants end up at 101, which it seems like it's going to be tough to beat the Jets, but you don't pass on Trevor Lawrence. I don't care that Daniel Jones is doing pretty well. And let's face it, Daniel Jones is doing...
I mean, there's other quarterbacks.
I can talk myself out of passing up on Fields or Trey Lance, though. But Trevor Lawrence, I don't think I could talk myself out of. There's a chance that the Giants are so bad and they walk backwards into Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. And and Daniel Jones is kind of screwed because Gettleman, the Giants GM, just doesn't trade back. And if he's dumb enough not to trade back with the amount of work that team needs, that's horrible. But, you know, so Daniel Jones has showed that he has at least a floor and a very high ceiling. The floor and the ceiling are far away from each other because he likes to fumble the ball. But as we see, he can run 80 yards before he falls down. So he has at least that 8-point floor, week to week, where he gets those couple of rushing yards. So I was always good getting Daniel Jones back. And Miles Sanders is a top 10 running back pretty easily. So, and he's super young. So it also helped getting that back. While we do love Diggs, it just made sense in the long run for the trade. Plus, getting 2/3 out of it will help in the long run, because not necessarily for us to draft with them, but thirds help get deals done. Thirds help you upgrade it elsewhere. So that's why we wanted all of these pieces to come back. When you're in rebuild mode, always get thirds thrown in, because you'll be able to use them eventually.
Yeah, I don't remember who it is, but I know somebody's like famous for getting a couple of fourths and turning that into a third, and then getting multiple thirds and turning that into a second, and so on and so forth. But like you said, thirds always get deals done. I mean, in every single league, it's like, throw in a third and we'll do it. You know,
and it's really funny because how often do you hit on anybody drafted in the third round? But for some reason, they're such popular trade chips.
I think it's because we all have that one guy that we know that we got in the third. And so they're like, but I got that guy, I got that guy in the third. And,
give up on that dream, everybody.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. But yeah, here we are. Like you said, thirds get trades done, and it's very important. In fact, I had one where it was the same thing. I needed a running back in a league desperately. I had Mike Davis, and this is right now, and I had Mike Davis and a league with CMC coming back this week, or either this week or next week.
Yeah.
And Mike Davis was like my only healthy running back, and so I'm like, this isn't gonna work, So I was not overly excited about it. I went out and tried to make some moves with other people, but no one was really budging. And so obviously there's not that many starting running backs, but I traded away a 21 first and a 21 third for James Conner and a 21 second.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not like I said, I'm not overly excited about James Conner, but I felt like I had to do that deal. You know, it's just like I needed a running back desperately, you know.
Previously, you should be excited you got that second back. That's actually kind of great. Like, that's probably what he should be traded for without that second coming back. Because dude's healthy, he's a workhorse.
That's what he was saying. You know, he was like, I know Connor's a first for me. And I said, you know what? That's fine. I completely appreciate that. But I was like, I cannot pay a first for Connor. I'm so sorry. I just can't do it. And I was like, I'll totally give you my first, but I have to have that second back. And at first he declined it. And then he sent me a counter, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't anything that I was really willing to take. And then I just declined it. And, you know, once again, like we said before, sometimes the trades you don't make are the best ones, because mm-hmm. then like 2 days later, he came back and he's like, hey, I thought we were pretty close. So like, what happened? And I was like, you know what? It was a good offer. Like, it was a good trade. I was just trying to get James White thrown in and like that kind of thing. He's like, yeah, I really don't want to give up on White for nothing. And I felt like it was a good offer anyway. He's like, but I'll do the original offer. I said, okay. And so we went back to it.
Nice. There you go. Wait it out, man. Don't do stuff just because you feel like, I know me saying these words out loud does it. It's don't trade just for the sake of trading. You know, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, the next one, I did a big no-no in the trading community. Now, it was with my previous co-host. So, I mean, like, obviously, like, a good friend. It wasn't, like, mm-hmm. some random guy or anything like that. But we had been talking about a possible trade for Kyler Murray. I had him. He wanted him. I was competing. He wanted to play for the future. And he was willing to give me a lot for him, which I was okay with. And I also didn't have a lot of that D word that you don't like, the depth. And so I could use some of those, you know, pieces that he had. And I was driving, in my defense. I was driving to work and we're talking, we're going back and forth and all that. And he kind of brought somebody up, and then I kind of threw something back at him, and we came to a deal. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'll do this if you throw in Ronald Jones. Because at the time I didn't have like hardly any running backs, but I also had Fournette who was hurt. And so I'm like, mm-hmm. you know what? At least this way I have Fournette. I have Ronald Jones. I don't have to worry about that backfield, you know, that kind of thing. And he's like, all right, yeah, I'll do it. And then I went to send the trade. And I could not send the trade. I could not force myself to get rid of Kyler. Kyler to me is almost like Barkley to Brian, you mm-hmm. know? And I couldn't bring myself to do it. And I finally, I waited like 30 minutes and I finally messaged him back. And I was like, he sent me the offer, because he's like, well, he's not sending it, so I'll send the offer. So he sent me the offer and I declined it. And he was like, wait, you told me that you wanted to do the deal. I said, I am so sorry. I hate myself for doing this, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And he was like, you know, he gave me, we're in a group chat together, and, you know, he threw it up in front of everyone like, hey, you know, look what John's doing, all that. Oh, and I deserved right. it. Yeah. I completely deserved it. And, you know, I took my licks. But the funny thing is that 3 weeks later, he sent me the same exact offer. And this was after Ronald Jones had had the good weeks and after Fournette had missed 3 weeks. And then he added in Gus Edwards. So I ended up accepting it, and what the mm-hmm. deal ended up being was Kyler Murray. I traded away Kyler Murray and Cooper Kupp, and I got Teddy Bridgewater, Jared Goff, Tyreek Hill, Ronald Jones, and Gus Edwards. And wow. It was one of those things where I felt like I had to accept it. You know, it's just like, I can't, especially with the shape of my team. And like, I needed running backs, I needed depth, I needed all that.
Hell, he just gave you half a starting lineup.
Right, exactly. And the funny thing is, you know, like, that everyone was kind of freaking out about it in the chat. Like, oh, did he get enough? Like, he just overpaid. And I said, guys, let me be very clear. Like, he had to overpay. It was like a regular trade was never going to happen, you know? And then the funny thing is, then Kyler, this was before last week or before, you know, week 7. Mm-hmm. And then Kyler goes up and puts up like 40 points or whatever yep. he put this week. And I just put back in the chat, I didn't get enough. And, I mean, I'm still happy. I won and like I got the depth I needed and everything. I'm happy. He's happy. That's how it's supposed to work. But it was just funny because like, I think that's why, just a complete like tangent or whatever, but that's why you should never, ever, ever veto trades, because yeah, you might be like, oh my God, I can't believe he just paid all that for Kyler. And then, you know, Kyler goes out and puts up a Lamar Jackson season from last year. And then you're like, well, he didn't even get enough, you know?
If you ever think you are good enough to start vetoing trades, go back a year. See what trades you thought you won at the time and see how horrible those players are now. Especially, like, I am hashtag never veto. And, well, trades don't really super happen in redraft. Like, that would be the only time where I could see that it being necessary. Because in Dynasty, who the hell knows? And especially because these teams were in 1 year. So who knows what's going to happen next year. If someone wanted to make the trade, they make a trade. That's what it comes down to. In Dynasty, you are paying to run a team for the length of the league, however the hell you want. And if at that point you think giving half your team for Kyler Murray is the right move for your team, there's no one other person out there who should be able to say, no, you're running your team wrong. So yeah, hashtag never veto.
Exactly. I mean, we're wrong on stuff. Even the best players are wrong on stuff so often that you just can't.
Yes, I am wrong every once in a while. Yes.
See, there you go. I can't remember if it was before we started recording or after, but we were talking about how Russ is the best Dynasty player ever in the history of the world. So now we were talking about, you know, rebuilding or, you know, making the decision to rebuild. Mm-hmm. And in another league of mine, I definitely went into the season expecting to compete, expecting to be pretty damn good. And things just didn't work out. I had Chris Godwin, obviously, who was out for a while. Mike Evans, who missed a week and hasn't really been Mike Evans. I had Austin Eckler. Joe Mixon obviously missed a week or two, mm-hmm. and didn't really start off hot. Julio Jones missed a couple weeks and wasn't. Yep. But like, you know, you have all those names, and there was more. I mean, I had Leonard Fournette obviously missed time. Drew Brees didn't really start off as hot as you maybe, you know, wanted him to. He's looking okay the past like week or so. But and then Philip Rivers, who I kind of was expecting at least for one more year, give me that one more year, and that didn't really work out, or it's not working out. And then I had Drew Locke in case one of them didn't work out, and then of course he got hurt as well. So next thing I know, I'm 1-6. And I was 1-5 when I finally decided, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna blow it up. I don't care. But then no one wanted to make like any true offers or any true deals. And I'm sending out offers. I'm trying to get Breeze off my team. I'm trying to get Rivers off my team. I'm trying to do all these things. And no one wanted to give me anything at first. But then another week went by. And, you know, once again, going back to like, just hold. You know, if no one's willing to give you the value, just hold. Because another week went by and a guy sent me a 21 first for Drew Breeze and Tre'Quan Smith.
Nice.
And, you know, so like, you know, for my team, that's going to be huge. And, you know, Breeze could play another year or two or whatever, but he could also retire at the end of the year. And that's not going to help.
He's not looking super great now anyway. So, yeah, no, exactly. Right. Yeah. Hey, man, it's a weird year. someone's going to get hurt next week. Someone's going to have a bye week next week. Someone's going to panic about their team next week. So even if you like, you know, you just said you're 1-6. That doesn't mean you need everyone off your team right now.
Right. And the thing is, I'm 1-6, but I'm still not winning. You know, like it's not like with those, I have all those guys, but I wasn't winning. Obviously I was 1-6. So, I'm in last place, or I'm in second to last or last, whatever it is. And I have my first. So, you know, like you said before, you know, if you don't have your first, it doesn't make any sense, but I have my first and now I have another one. And, you know, obviously I'm still trying to pimp some of these players out, but yeah, I'll take my time, and if I don't, like, none of them are dying this week, or we hope to God not. So and maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud, but you know, like it'll be okay. But you know, there is a chance that Rivers is going to be gone. There is a chance that Breeze is going to be gone. So obviously, like, that's priority number one, to get them off of my team.
Yep.
I don't know how many 32 man leagues you're in, but I'm in, I joined a 32 man dynasty league, and it's full offensive players, but also full IDP. Like I think you start 7 IDP players as well. And so it's actually my first foray into IDP. And so of course I decided to join a 32 man league.
Yep. Why not? Go all in, man.
Exactly. That's what I said. So I did that. I took over an orphan. It wasn't really terrible, but it definitely wasn't great either. But it did have Saquon Barkley on it. So, starting the season, I'm like, all right, in a 32-man league, having Saquon is kind of a big deal. But then, of course, Barkley gets hurt in what, week two or whatever.
Yep.
So I ended up trading Barkley because I decided, you know what? Screw it. It's a pretty cheap league. And I think you were talking about in the last episode, I do these cheap leagues so that I can just have fun with it and
Yep,
not like worry
absolutely.
too much about it. And so that's kind of, how I felt about it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to trade away Barkley. I want to just play for this year. And so I traded Barkley and, or no, I traded Barkley for Jared Goff, Keyshawn Vaughn, a 21 first and a 22 second. And, what I didn't say is this is, it's technically super flex. Like you start, but it's a 32-man league. So like there's only 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
So no one, like you don't even have an actual quarterback starting position. It's just a super
It's just
flex.
a flex. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can either play a quarterback or play any
Yeah.
other
So
position.
quarterbacks are probably insanely expensive.
Exactly. And I did not have a quarterback, or my only quarterback is Jacoby Brissett. And so obviously that
So you
wasn't
don't have a
gonna,
quarterback. Yeah.
really.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't have a quarterback. And so that was where I got Goff. And I really just had Keyshawn Vaughn thrown in because he had already lost all of his value. And then
Yeah.
once again, in a 32-man league, he could be something.
If he
So I
plays, he
just had
scores
him
something,
kind
yeah.
of thrown in. And then I got the 21 first and then 22 second. And then my team still was pretty garbage. I think like my starting, I had DJ Chark, but I didn't really have too much else like offensively. My defensive players were great. That was not the issue. But my offensive players were pretty crappy. So I traded I had my first still. So I traded my 21 first and the 21 first that I, got in the other one and the 21 second that I got in the other trade for Gronk and DJ Moore.
Ooh.
And I felt like, A, if I'm competing and I'm going to like be scoring a lot of points and stuff, I'm going to be pretty deep. Even if I'm not 32nd, I might be 25th, or something like that. And so, in a 32-man league, do you really want the 25th pick? It's a first. It sounds great, but
Sort
if I could
of.
take the 25th pick and like the 18th pick and turn that into DJ Moore and technically Gronk for like a second, I was all about that. And
Absolutely.
next, so point of the story is I made those trades, and now I went from having a losing record and being in like third in my division to being 9-5. It's once again you play against the league median in that one, and I am in first place. I'm 2 games above second place and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely made some of the right moves, but it's a fun league. I don't know if I necessarily recommend being in a 32-man league, but it's definitely got some fun to it, though.
It's funny you're talking about it, and I'm sitting here trying to think of logistics of how I would do that if I were to run one.
I mean,
That's terrifying.
it really is, and it's crazy. I mean, basically, like they have it set up just like the NFL. There's
Yep.
there's 4 teams per division, and they even have us set up like I'm the Browns. They have it set up as like actual NFL teams and stuff. So like I play the Ravens and I play the Steelers and I play, like all that.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah. So it's it's cheap, it's fun, and it's just something
All that
to. But I
matters.
also, yeah. But I also wanted to get into IDP, and I guess that was my way of like diving right in. So did you have any other trade strategies or like big trades that you've made recently that you were like really excited about?
I have a couple on the other side of where I'm actually competing, where I've decided to make a bigger push. I made a couple of
Okay.
those if you want to get into that.
Yeah, sure.
Let's pull that up.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sorry, I was kind of just jumping around. I was looking at mine and I'm like, you know what? I'll talk about mine for a minute. And then I was
Oh
like, wait, I've just been talking about my teams for like 30 minutes. So maybe we should actually get rest to talk.
yeah. Your show, man. You keep talking. So I pulled up the past 45 days, and well, at the time, sending 2/3 for Jeff Driskel seemed like a great idea, because I had Drew Lock on my team. But he got replaced after one game anyway. But let's see, 2 weeks ago, I traded Drew Lock and Terry McLaurin for Aaron Rodgers and Adam Thielen. So Drew Lock at the time was still hurt. He didn't come back yet. And I feel even better now that he came back and is not looking great. That I got Aaron Rodgers, and of course Adam Thielen goes on his went on his bye week, and that didn't help me. But I love that trade. I'm pretty happy with it.
I was going to say, like, especially with the way Rodgers has been playing, you know, like the past couple weeks and everything.
Yeah,
I would definitely be pretty happy. Obviously, we know Thielen isn't necessarily long for the NFL, or we're assuming.
Yeah, but he should make that push for me this year. That's really all I cared about. Like, exactly. It's a very strong team, and there's a lot of youth to it, which is the only reason I felt okay trading away McLaurin, because I still have a couple of young wide receivers. And the reason I was okay taking Thielen, who will at least be here this year, most likely next year as well. And again, same with Rodgers. He'll definitely be playing this year, next year, whether they feel like making the jump to Jordan Love right away, who the hell knows. But I know this year they're both going to give me that push to help me win. My only tight end in this league was Zach Ertz. The other two guys, I'd be lucky if they're on a team right now. So did what I do best, and I went to Brian Engels, Penn State, in front of him. I traded DJ Chark and Allen Robinson for Travis Kelce. Chark's been scaring the hell out of me with how much the Jaguars are spreading the ball around. Like, Chark seems to be getting 5-6 targets a game, but it's really only turning into 1-3 catches and not for all that many yards anyway. So I was fine getting rid of him. And it always hurts to lose Allen Robinson, but when you're getting a guy who's top 2-3 at their position, you should be overpaying for them. And I felt like this was a fair price, which made me thrilled to get Kelce. Of course, Kelce now has a 3-catch for 37 yards. You know, his first game on my team. So clearly, he just wasn't happy about getting traded. But I think in the long run, that's definitely going to help me win this league.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it might be a slight overpay or anything in people's eyes, but you know, if that's what you need, and especially if your only tight end is Zach Ertz, and that is what you need, and you're not just getting a fill-in or anything, you're getting the best tight end. You'll never hear me complain about you trading for Kelce. Like, I think my listeners are probably sick of me talking about Travis Kelce at this point.
Hey, man, he's a good guy to talk about. He is very good, and you got to stop complaining that he's old, because he might be 30, but tight ends play till they're 34, 35. Or if you're Antonio Gates, you play until you're 46. So, I mean, I would not be freaking out about Kelce at all.
It doesn't always happen, you know, that way, but I feel like you can usually get an idea of when a guy is kind of falling off, or, you know, like when the injuries start piling up over and over again, like that kind of thing. We haven't seen any of that with Kelce. Like, there's absolutely no reason, including his play this season, besides this week and the Snow Bowl and all that kind of stuff. Besides that, when Patrick Mahomes only throws the ball 24 times or whatever he did, you know, which isn't going to happen very often. Besides that, like, we haven't seen anything but amazing play from Kelce.
Yep. Yeah, and pass catchers usually decline. The cliff is that quarterbacks fall off a cliff. Like, they're good and then they're not good. You like you said, you see it coming with pass catchers, with wide receivers and tight ends. Running backs, sometimes it's unfortunately a cliff, but usually there are also times you see it coming. So I guess running backs is always a little tough. But yeah, I am not at all concerned. There's zero reason to be concerned with Kelce. If you're worried about his age, then you're just overthinking it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had T.Y. Hilton in the league a couple of years ago, and, you know, I was competing, and then I lost, like, right before the playoffs. So I guess I wasn't competing anymore. And so I ended up missing the playoffs, so I traded away. I had a lot of injuries that year, but I ended up trading away T.Y. Hilton because I kept seeing those injuries piling up, and it just seemed like he couldn't stay healthy even then. And I'm like, man, he still has a lot of value, but it just seems like maybe he's not actually worth what his, you know, like what his street value is.
Yeah, it makes me sad. I love T.Y.
And I did too. I loved him as a player. You know, I loved his ability to just have those huge games and all that kind of stuff. But it just seemed like even if he could do it for a little bit longer, it wasn't going to be that much longer, and I should sell now and not wait. And so I sold him for 2 firsts.
The guy
ended up winning the league, so it worked out for both of us.
Absolutely.
You know, which is obviously what you want, but it was just one of those things where you could see it, just like we were saying. Like, I could see it, and I mean, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn or anything, but it just felt like, okay, his time is done. And that was 2 years ago. And, of course, I ended up turning those first into DJ Moore and Zeke. Now, obviously, like, there was other pieces involved. I didn't get Zeke and DJ Moore for those first, but like,
that'd be pretty
trade
baller.
After trade after trade after trade, and eventually I got those pieces. So obviously it all worked out for me, and now that's the team that I'm 14-0 in. So, you know, it took like 2 years to get to that point, but you know, that's how it all started. And not trying to toot my own horn once again, but just saying, like,
hey, toot away, man. We do good things so we can brag about it. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, you can, if you're actually watching the games, or even if you're just watching the stat lines and stuff, you can see when that guy's kind of starting to fall off, or if you're just watching the injury reports, like that kind of thing.
Yes, especially when it came to T.Y. Hilton, because he was the kind of guy where you expected a hamstring injury every once in a while, but then it turned into hamstring, and then an ankle, and then a shoulder, and then, you know, then when Luck retired, it was downhill because they couldn't get a quarterback that could actually throw him the ball well enough. So, yeah, you definitely saw it coming. There was writing on the wall, to use a horrible cliche, for T.Y. Hilton's decline.
And the biggest thing for me, I think, was when he, you know, he would be like, okay, yeah, he's going to play, and then he would leave at halftime. You know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, he can't stay healthy. He's trying to play through it, and he just can't stay healthy. And, you know, like you said, the writing was on the wall. Maybe you're not always going to get it right, but if you just kind of keep an eye on it, you know, you can still sell when they have the value and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
I don't want to keep you here too long or anything. I did have a listener send in a question about basically just how do you value, obviously because of the weird year, how are you valuing some of these guys like your James Robinsons and your Miles Gaskins and you know, some of these players that might not have, like we were even talking about Fournette earlier, and like he doesn't have the contract, you know, like that he doesn't have the guarantee for 2021. And so how are you valuing those guys, especially James Robinson? I mean, he's got to be the biggest name at this point.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell do you do with James Robinson? Because obviously if you're competing, you're not doing anything with him. You're just playing him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, but if you're, you know, if you're not competing, if you're rebuilding, then like what, how much are you asking for? Because he's putting up, you know, like top five running back numbers right now, at least top 12. And yet, you know, we have no idea if he's even going to be on a team next year, you know?
Yeah, the undrafted part makes it so hard because we've just seen so many times undrafted running backs do well. And the problem is doing well at running back isn't good enough to keep your job. You know, that's, I mean, remember the Rams did it like 3 years in a row. You know, we thought Gio was great, but they kept bringing in other running backs, Jeremy Hill, even though he outlived Jeremy Hill. But then they brought in Mixon, Jeremy Langford, then Jordan Howard. And, you know, there's, being good at running back isn't enough to not get you replaced. And James Robinson specifically, I mean, he's worth a first. It's what it comes down to. Even if this is his only year in the league, he's worth a first with the numbers he's putting up. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
Do I think he's their running back next year? No idea. If they're smart, the Jaguars, then yes, because their team is awful. They need to fully rebuild that team. They should not be wasting any capital on running back. But then again, they spent the second pick on Fournette, or the fourth pick, whatever it was. So they're clearly not the smartest people anyway. So who the hell knows? So I am treating Robinson like he's a one-year asset, and I have paid a first to get him on the team I'm competing in because it's worth it, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you're competing, like, it doesn't matter. If you have a first and there's someone waving James Robinson around, like, you have to just pay it and just be like, hey, you know, it's worth it. I'm going to win the championship this year because I paid that first, and that's it.
Yeah, like, what's the 112 going to be? Is that 112 going to help you win the league next year? Probably not. Let's just face it. Even though this should be another year where it is a fantastic draft class, it doesn't matter. James Robinson, winning the title this year is worth not having your first next year. So, yeah. But other guys, like, it's, man, that's tough. Like, you have to take it as such a case-by-case basis. Like, right now, Chase Edmonds, like, is he worth a first? Probably not. Is he going to score like he's worth a first? Probably. Because, like, even before Drake got hurt, Chase just looked better.
Like, better.
It's the honest truth. So I think even when Drake heals up, even though he's supposed to miss a couple of weeks, even when he heals up, if they're smart, they're going to play Edmonds more. So would I send a first for Edmonds? I try not to, but if I was an RB2 away, absolutely. Yeah.
And I guess what's your, it just made me think of a question. Like, what is your threshold for, like, let's say that we knew Edmonds had 4 weeks of being the only running back, like, which obviously we have no idea, but if we did, or if you're assuming that you had 4 good weeks of Edmonds and then Drake comes back and God only knows what happens at that point. Like, what's your threshold of like, I need these weeks to make sure I get into the playoffs, like that kind of thing. Like, oh, I have Nick Chubb coming back in a few weeks. Like, would you pay first to go get a Chase Edmonds knowing it's only 4 weeks?
No, it might just be a pride. No, pride's the wrong word, but like, if I'm paying a first for someone, I need it for the rest. I need them to be the expectation for them to be scoring the rest of the season, because let's face it, we never, they could slip on a banana peel and break their leg, who knows?
Right.
But like James Robinson, we have the expectation. There's no reason to believe he won't keep doing what he's doing.
Sure.
They're not going to go out and sign some other running back. Raquel Armstead isn't going to come back and get the starting job for no reason whatsoever. I mean, like, we see what he is on that team, so it's worth a first. Edmonds, man, like, right now, would I send a first? No. If he goes out the next 2 weeks and puts up 20 something points, like, he goes nuts, maybe I would, just because even when Drake comes back, if they're smart, they're playing Edmonds a majority of the time anyway because of how well he's doing. And also, if he does that well, he's under contract next year in Arizona. So he'll still have that role next year. So again, there's no blanket answer. It's a case-by-case basis. But for that specific, I guess for your question, I guess there is a blanket answer. Yes, I want scoring for the rest of the season. And that's something I need to feel safe with. Well, as safe as you can. For me to send a first out. Otherwise, I'm fine throwing seconds at anything because, again, what's the 212 going to get you? Not much. But if it gets you a championship, who the hell cares?
Exactly. But on the other end of it, though, if you had Edmonds and you're rebuilding, you're not taking less than a first, are you? Or, I mean, I guess like equivalent. It doesn't always have to be
Yeah,
just
I
a
was about
first
to
or anything.
say 2 seconds would probably get it done. Like, I'm not selling James Robinson for less than a first. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, no
Chase
way.
Edmonds, but I just bought him for a second and a fourth, so I guess someone is willing to, and that dude is in year two of his rebuild, so he's still working on it. So yeah, he was willing to send him for a second. I think I
Yeah.
would, like, it, especially if it seems like it was going to be an earlier second, I definitely would. But yeah, I would try for first. Like, this guy didn't. I sent a second for Chase Edmonds, and his counter was for a second and a fourth, and I didn't even blink before I hit the accept button. That's a lie. I blinked to make sure that that was all that was there. Like, I didn't miss a first throw, like, under somewhere, because it was weird to counter just asking for a fourth. But yeah, like, try. You see what they're willing. See what someone's willing to do. Always, everything's always worth a shot. Like I just received a trade off in a two. First of all, I hate two tight end leagues, but in a two tight end league, someone just sent me Ruggs and Darius Slayton for Travis Kelce. In a one tight end, not premium league, I would reject that.
Right.
But no less a two tight end premium league, to which
No.
I rejected, and in my count in my in the comments was add two firsts to this and we can start talking. But why the hell not? Send a, you never know when someone's just going to say yes. I mean, it's not really cool to send super trash offers, but yeah, send bad trades. Why not? Bad's the wrong word. Okay, don't send bad trades, but send trades on the lower end every once in a while because someone might just accept it.
I tell people all the time that like I still get excited when I see the incoming trade, like email or notification or whatever. And even when it's a bad trade, I still get that little like, what if? And that kind of thing. And so I've never been like appalled from, or anything
Yes, and
from a
it's so
trade.
weird when people are.
Yeah, of course, like there's obviously instant declines and that's gonna happen, but I've never just been like, oh my God, I'll never talk to that person again because they sent me a bad trade. Because I know you've like been very clear about the fact that you send bad trades
Oh,
sometimes.
absolutely
And
do.
I definitely do it too. But it's also because we don't all value players the same way. And so just because it looks like a bad trade to you doesn't necessarily mean that they were going out of their way to make a bad trade for you. They might think that, you know, Darius Slayton's the next coming and, you know, they're trying to give you something great for Kelsey. And you're like, nah, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Or maybe they pulled to me and instead of clicking on, you know, maybe they were trying to click on T.Y. Hilton, but then accidentally clicked on Tyreek Hill. And that's why it looks so bad. You never know.
Exactly. But yeah, I just wanted to ask you about that, you know, get some of those values. Going back to the Edmonds one, would that be one, you know, you were saying like you might accept a second or any, or something like that, but would that be one where maybe you try to like get a first for a second, like that kind of thing, like Edmonds and a second for a first?
I don't know if I'd add a, I definitely had a third pretty easily or send in another depth piece. See, the thing is, let me try and find a way to say this that actually makes sense. If I knew there was going to be a lot of picks in between the first and the second, like if I was giving, let's say magically, because this is a perfect situation where the first, the team of the first that you're sending me, I had their second. So I knew for a fact there are 12 picks in between that first and second. Maybe I would do that. But if there's a chance it's a late first and an early second and I'm selling Chase Edmonds for five steps up, then if it was a few weeks down the road and I had a very clear picture that this is going to be early, this is going to be late, maybe I would do it. I would be okay adding to Edmonds to get the first. Let's put it that way. But sure, maybe not a second.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because it feels like a second just isn't right for Edmonds right now. Like, he should have more value than that. But I also understand, you know, like, people probably don't want to pay a first for non-guaranteed.
Like, an early second is, right now, an early second to me is pretty spot on for what Edmonds is. Because, like we've been alluding to, Drake is going to come back this year. And whether, well, first of all, there's always a chance that Bruce Arians is the kind of guy who won't let someone get replaced due to injury, which I don't necessarily remember from history if he's that kind of guy who's just going to put Drake back in because Drake was the starter before he got hurt.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was thinking about Tampa. Wow. It's only 10 o'clock, man. Why is my brain not working? Right. Yeah, Kingsbury, like, we don't know if Kingsbury's that kind of guy. So there's a chance Drake walks in and just gets his job back. But we have to assume that's not the case, right? But you would hope. Who knows? We don't know. And maybe it's a 50-50 split. If that's the case, he still might not be worth a first.
Yep.
So, like, an early second to me is pretty spot on for Chase Edmonds' value.
No, I can definitely see it. Well, I appreciate you jumping back on with this. I don't know if you had any other strategies or anything. I'm kind of out of ideas at this point. It's basically you still have to make up your mind. Are you rebuilding? Are you going all in?
Yeah, just make a feel, man. Like, the worst thing you could do is be indecisive. But also, it's a game. Who the hell cares? The answer is have fun. And I think I end like every single guest spot with just saying, whatever, man, just go do whatever the hell makes you happy. But it's the honest truth. You know, if you're one of those people like, oh, I try and win every year, which is unrealistic, but go for it, man. Right. Sell your picks. If it blows up in your face, I'm sure you'll find a way. You know, once February comes around and MFL rolls over, you get a brand new year's worth of picks to start trading away again. You know, those are always going to show up, so don't even worry about it. Go nuts. If you want to go get some picks, go get some picks. If you want to sell your picks, go sell them. Like, we gave you strategies. When it comes down to it, just do whatever you find fun.
There's a guy in one of my leagues. It's a home league. I'm fairly certain he has never made a trade, and the league's been around we're in the fourth year now, and he's never made a trade at all, but he still puts people on the trade block. And and he still pays every year, and he still, I mean, he doesn't do very well. He's usually not worst, but he's definitely never going to be first, or at least I can't imagine how you would be. But it's crazy because like people send him offers, and it's like, nah, no, that's not even close. But yet he still puts people in the trade blocks. It's like he has hopes and dreams. But,
he's just waiting for that day where he gets that overpayment. Until then, he's not accepting anything.
Exactly. But like you said, hey, he pays. He's having fun. You know, that's all that really matters. Like it's not ideal for us, you know, like us degenerates that are trying to, you know, get that trade done every day or anything. But yeah, it's just what he does. So I gotcha. I'd love to have you back on maybe a little closer to the end of the year, so maybe we need to schedule it around like December 31st, and then we'll have you on for like the middle of January, something like
Sounds like a plan.
that. But I kind of wanted to have you maybe like right at the end of the season so that we could, start talking about like what are you doing at the end of the year, as your season is finishing, like that kind of thing. What are you doing with your teams at that point?
Absolutely.
Hey, well, I really appreciate you coming on once again, friend of the show, Russ.
There you go. I'm gonna change my Twitter handle, friend of the show.
Hell yeah, friend of the show. But I really appreciate it. We'll see you next time. Until then, we're cashing out.
Later.